Hello and welcome to The Thing I Love Most show. My name is Noel Valbon. Today I am joined by the masterful Lee Curtin to give me some insightful coaching knowledge.
Thank you.
Very, very good. And then we have Matt, who has got some different form of knowledge, but nice to have you on board, Matt.
Thanks, mate.
Once again, joining us from Spurs News. Lots to talk about this week. Two games that we've covered, that we went to. So let's start back last week now, on the Wednesday, Halloween, and it was a bit of a horror show for West Ham. I did go to the game. It was fun, I've got to say. Go in there with nearly 5,000 of us there. Parts of the night were like a scene out of ID for me, I tell you. It was mental walking around the back streets with some crazy cats, but it was wicked. It was really, really good fun. Great to see Son back in the goals. I think he needed that game. I think it really gave his confidence a bit of a lift. You could tell that he really enjoyed it. And for me, obviously, Foyt being man of the match, I thought was played really, really well. Antonio was quite a difficult opposition, but he dealt with him quite well. And then when Arnautovic came on as well, similarly, quite strong, pacey, but, you know, I wouldn't say he had him in his pocket, but he came back with some really, really good challenges and very composed on the ball. For someone who's only 20, to come out of defence like Vertonghen does, like Alderweireld does, I thought he looked a bit more composed than Sanchez has done in recent times, which was, I thought, quite impressive. So what was your take on the game, Lee?
Well, I'll touch on Foyt first, because there's... Obviously, we'll move on to his follow-up game after, but... yeah, I think he played very, very well, and his ability on the ball is for everybody to see. You can see he's very composed on the ball. You can see he can pick a pass. When you talk about composure and then Sanchez, mm-hmm. you can see the difference. I like a lot of things about him. I think he'll get done for pace more often than not, and he's still. Still a bit of a project in the making. He's still very quite slight as centre-backs go. So, you know, there's a bit of work to be done in terms of strengthening him up and, you know, making him a tougher customer. But he's got the little bit of needle in him. He can read a game very well. And I think, funnily enough, if you put Sanchez's speed and aggression on top of the way he's composed and his positioning, we'd have a hell of a centre-back, you know.
Yeah,
but... Yeah, I mean, it's a long way to go, and I think it's very important that everybody recognises that he's just 20 years old.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's been over with us, 2 years now, from a foreign country as well. And then to adjust to the Premier League is not going to be... Well, we've seen bigger and better players come over and fail. So I think it's very important his bedding in period and his learning curve is one that the way we've got it at the moment, the way Pocker's got it at the moment, is not too much, not too soon. I like what I see.
Good for him as well to be involved in the Argentina squads, because that's, you know, can only benefit him. Obviously, working with, you know, Poch as well and, you know, with his background. But I think also being involved with the international team is going to stand him in good stead.
Well, I think it puts us in good stead.
Yeah, cool.
Because somebody who's not getting regular first team games but is still recognised by their international side means that he's obviously doing things right. Mm. You know, he's not going to get itchy. He's not going to want to move on and, you know, people come knocking at his door and... You know, we're working with him. He's obviously happy to stay and learn his trade, and the international team has recognised it. So I think from a Tottenham point of view, that's brilliant.
Do you think? Sorry, Matt. Before I go to you, your verdicts on the match. Do you think he would have wanted to go on loan this year, considering the fact that his opportunities have been quite limited? There was talk of it maybe that he was maybe looking for it. Or...
Possibly, but I think with the whole Toby contract stuff at the start of the season, I think it was never going to happen. And we had it before, I think, last season when Winks wanted to go, or not wanted to go, but there was talk of him going and Poch said, no, you know, you stay, you train and play with the guys and your chance will come. And you've only got to look at his progression. And I think Foyth can look at that and see that, you know, being kept there, training with the first team, biding your time, it'll pay dividends in the end. And yeah, I think, you know, I think he's put a lot of trust in Poch and Poch the other way. I think it's a two-way thing. So I think he's well looked after. You can see he's looked after. And yeah, I think he's probably going to be one for the future. But there will be games for him along the way, for, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. And you look at where we are now with Jan out and Sanchez probably just, I think he's played so many games and we forget how young he is as well. Yeah. He's not
think,
as composed.
Do you think his tiredness is creeping into his game with Sanchez?
Mental fatigue.
Yeah, mental fatigue. Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, and there's a lot, there must be a lot of information coming at him, you know, and he was in a position where it wasn't done on the training ground. He was in a position where it was done on the pitch, you know, because we was in a position where he had to put him in and play.
He looked
and
more confident
play.
When he started. I remember his debut, I think it was his debut, or one of the first games I saw him was Everton away when we went up to Goodison, and he was amazing and he was so confident. And he's coming out of the... And he's, you know, when he played for Ajax, he was a goal threat.
Yeah.
And he used to make these storming runs. And maybe because we're playing in a back four at the moment, it's slightly different in terms he's maybe a little bit held back. But
possibly.
He still doesn't... It just seems a little bit more
nervous. He looks very nervous on the ball.
Yeah.
He does look very nervous on the ball. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just his decision-making with it. You know, I think sometimes quite frustrating. He gets the ball. We're camped out and in the opposition's half and we're on the halfway line and he'll get it, and as soon as the forward makes a run at him, he'll turn and knock it back 40 yards. Yeah. And I find that quite frustrating sometimes. But like, as you point out, early Sanchez was, he would try and play a little bit. But do you know what? Until he builds up that confidence to kind of step past the forward or knock it out wide and maybe get round them, I'll take it. I'd rather play safe. You know, we're.
You wonder as well, don't you, with the way we play. We play out from the back, don't we?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, all the time, kind of. You know, and I was at the. I know we're going to go on to the Wolves game, but a couple of times they're playing out, and you're just going, no, please, just. And we actually do all right, Mark Wilson. Yeah. But I'm wondering whether part of it is because of the way we're playing, and he has made the odd mistake. It's knocking his confidence, whereas, like you were saying before, he's new into it, isn't he? So the composure's there. And I think the composure's there for Sanchez, but it's just maybe he's frightened because of the way we play.
Yeah.
He's got that pressure on him, hasn't he? Well, you know, especially when you're getting teams that clock onto it. Because we play, I mean, like when we play West Ham, they normally leave us.
They'll let you play.
Yeah, but other teams don't. And when you are getting pushed, then the pressure's on you. You know, and if you mess up, you've only got Lloris left.
I found that as well. I think I've watched a few games now where I feel like teams try and push up, especially when it goes towards Sanchez. I feel they see him as the man who's going to get nervous and, you know, possibly give the ball away. And if he goes back to Hugo, whose kicking hasn't been the best, you know, I feel they see a bit of a weakness in there. But look, Foyth's come in and he's done his bit, and the rest will do Sanchez the world of good. You know, and we pointed out a few weeks ago, his learning has been done in the Premier League. Mm. You know, he joined us, and you know, for injuries and suspensions, whatever, he was put in, and he's learnt, you know, on the pitch. So there's, you know, fair play to him. 21, 22 years old, and we're probably just trying to get him to play. You know, we're probably trying to get him to play a way that he's not played before as well. You know he's good on the ball. We recognise what he can do on the ball. But the tempo of the Premier League is, you know, I think it's, people kind of underestimate that sometimes. It can be quite unforgiving. There's forwards, you know, like a Shane Long, for example, they won't give you a minute's rest. And if you're not, you know, if you're not fully on it, they will get a little nibble out of you and they will force you into mistakes. And he's probably not had that in Holland and on the international stage. So, yeah, Sanchez will, he'll come again and, you know, you'll get strength and pace with him. I think, you know, not any time soon, unfortunately, but he does the job for now. Mm. But I think in 2 years' time, you've got to have a hell of a centre-back there.
And he does suit a three better, I think. And obviously, maybe Foyth as well. So now we've got, you know, potentially four really, really good centre-backs who will all suit a three. And then I think that also suits our wing-backs. I think Trippier, who we'll discuss in a bit, you know, also suits wing-backs. So, you know, I think that can only be a good thing. Rose as well, I think, you know. Davies, not so much. So Matt, just touching once again on the West Ham game, what were your highlights? I thought it was very good to see Ali back involved in the goals.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And also, I know you've touched on it, but Sonny scored his two goals. You know, it's been a while, hasn't it? And it was great seeing him back. And
he's one a long
of them,
time.
I always think with Sonny, he's one of them players where if he's got too much time to think, he's normally when he misses up. He's such a natural player that, you know, if he's just running on and he's taking his shot, that's normally when he puts it away. We've seen it so many times, like, you know, for example, like, you know, I know we mentioned it, we're talking about the Palace, you know, we're playing Palace the week, and I remember last season he scored the goal, didn't he? And it was just, the ball came to him, it was an instinct thing, Bosch back in the back of the net, and that's, I think, how he plays. And it, hopefully those two goals he scored will just get him back in that kind of frame of mind. And
he's so two-footed as well. The two goals again on Wednesday were left foot. That one against Palace, I think, was left foot as well.
Really, the first one
as well. I know he was like inside the box, but it was a hell of a finish.
Yeah, it was a hell of a finish.
Yeah. You know, and it was, you know, he went for that near post, he went for that top corner, and you know, we worry about him not scoring goals and if he's low on confidence, but that finish was on somebody
that
was like
confident, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, it was. Yeah. It's unreal. I think it's like you know, really underestimated that finish. It was absolutely incredible.
Lorente got a goal as well. we did a poll earlier on that day, which was basically, do you think Lorente should start the game? And actually, 63% of people voted for yes. I think there was about 600 votes. So you know, I thought it was justified. He was involved in the first goal. Took it down well, laid it off, and then obviously he got the third goal after Mark Noble ran on the pitch and obviously, you know, caused the disturbance. That was the highlight for me. I mean, that was incredible. It was. I mean, did the cameras pick it up?
Yeah, I think they. Yeah, we heard it. Yeah.
Oh my word!
So I just love that how sharp some fans can be. Like they just think of that song, that chant straight away. Like.
Incredible. Yeah, that was one of the highlights for me. So yeah, all in all, good performance.
Yeah, nice to put another one over on them in quick succession.
Well, I know they won at the weekend, didn't they? But before that, we'd won more games at their ground than they had in like something like 180 days.
Yeah, so we're tied, three each, and I think we still got a better consecutive record there as well. So long may that continue.
Okay, so on to the Wolves match. Matt, you're at the game. I think I've just about recovered. It was a... oh, man. That was pure torture. Those last half an hour, I would say, those last 30 minutes were hard. And I think it's probably sometimes worse watching it on TV than being there. I don't know why. Maybe because you listen to the commentary and they're like saying, you know, oh, Wolves are getting back into this. And it's, you know, you believe the hype. I don't know. But I was convinced we were going to draw. I mean, we looked so dodgy when they were attacking. It was suddenly, we just seemed to completely lose the ability to defend. I mean, looking back at the match in the whole, good start. Good goal from Lamella. Nice little ball in from Son. Nice little finish, right foot. Mora, header, great cross from Trips. Terrible defending by Wolves, but you know, that's fine. And then obviously, second half, I thought we started reasonably well again. I'm missing out the fact that they had a goal balled out wrongly for offside, but you know, rubber the green, sometimes you get them, sometimes you don't. So that was lucky for us, but still, we went in for 2-0. And then obviously Kane getting the third, good little rebound, good left foot shot. So we were absolutely cruising. Did you think at that stage that it would ever end up the way it did, where I was literally watching it from behind my sofa, punching myself in the face?
It's one of the things, isn't it, where you're enjoying it, you're 3-0 up, you're confident, and then you get reminded that you're a Spurs fan. We have it no other way, do we? I remember last season, I think we played Southampton on Boxing Day, and I think we ended up winning game 5-2. But literally, like 5 minutes to go, we're 5-2 up, and I'm still nervous. You know, you just, as a Spurs fan, it's just, luckily we won the game, didn't we? We got the 3 points, brilliant. We come away with 3 points, but we just capitulated, didn't we? It was just insane. Like, you know, we were so comfortable at 3-0. I wouldn't say we were bossing the game because they were having chances as well, but we were comfortable at 3-0.
They're a quality side, though, aren't they? We knew we were going to have a challenge.
They play a good calibre of football.
Yeah, they do. They're well marshalled, and they're like, you know, they all know what they're doing. He's got them playing, especially the defence. He's got them playing really well.
That youngster that came on, he looked tidy.
I watched the World Cup. I watched that Youth World Cup.
That's a big player for them, wasn't it?
They won, and yeah, what a player! What a future he will have! I mean, the arrogance of him to pick some of those passes.
But you need that a bit, don't you? Especially at that age,
17, 18. Yeah. You got nothing to lose. You know, you go in there and nobody knows you. Mm. And we actually we were free up, as you rightly point out. architects of our own downfall again. Mm-hmm. However, you know, if you go back and watch some of the highlights, we allowed that 17-year-old to pick passes because we didn't know him. Nobody shut him down.
Yeah.
Nobody got near him. I think the only one who got near him and ended up taking a yellow for it was Winks.
Yeah.
And he may have a little bit of insight and you know as to who he is and you know he's quite close in age. But yeah, he's gonna be a good player for them. And you know, if we was to go in, put a couple of million in and try and twist their arm for him, I'd definitely be all over that because he can definitely pick a pass. But
I think Levy would only bid 2 million as well.
Yeah, probably would. Yeah, mug him off. But
I think we. I mean, obviously, the Dembélé injury, which we hope is not too serious, but it did look quite serious. I think that set us back a little bit, but we recovered from that. But what I don't think we recovered from was the solidity that we would have had, or maybe in the centre of the park, in that Sissoko is a runner and he's an athlete, but he's not massively defensive minded. And Winks, I love Winks, I think he's going to be a great player, but he's even less so, I think. I was just watching a few of the game live and he just wasn't tracking back enough. He wasn't running back enough like you should do in that position. And so I think we then were giving them too much space. And I think obviously without the marshalling of Vertonghen at the back, obviously, Foyt, as we mentioned earlier on, is a great, great prospect. But I think he maybe needed someone alongside him like Vertonghen. I think Toby, you know, he's solid, but he's not as much of a leader as Vertonghen, I don't think. And it just we seem to be missing something back there, in if it's experience or I don't know what it is.
I'd say maybe a little bit of experience, but also, you know, as we spoke about off-air already, we are the architects of our own downfall.
It's ridiculous.
You know, we're in a position where we're free up.
I cannot remember a season where we've given away so many goals.
We're free up and, you know, Trips gets the ball and he can put it out for a corner and you might berate him for putting it out for a corner.
Or you put it out for a throw, and you go,
okay, no problem, everyone get back, pick your men up, make a line and we'll defend it from here. And he tried to nutmeg the guy and come back inside towards the box, which is... Yeah. You know, it's unforgivable on a lot of levels. Mm. And, you know, that right there is the start of, you know, the Tottenham panic button.
But
everybody starts panicking. Yeah. And what's in his mind
when he's doing that, though? Because, you know, I can see like, you know, we talk about the mistakes that Lloris has made. He comes flying out against PSV, he drops him down. He comes flying out against Barcelona. You know,
his mind is
he's still trying to save the goal.
But for a goalkeeper coming rushing out, they've made a decision. They believe they can get there. Yeah. You know, they've misjudged the pace of the ball, the pace of the striker. They've not read it
quite
right.
But they're still doing their job.
Yeah, they're doing their job. You'll also get defenders diving in, you know, and that's them being misjudging the pace of the ball, the pace of the striker. What Trippier did for the first one was just nothing but just being overly confident, cocky to a point. 3-0 up, let me just mug this geezer off, I'm going to nutmeg him, I'm going to go inside, I'm going to play it down the line. It was nothing but just cockiness for me.
He's basically overrating his ability, isn't he? He thinks he's basically saying, I'm better than actually what he is, isn't he?
Well, he's the Barry Beckham, don't you know? I don't know if you knew that, mate.
I think it's like we touched on before, though. I mean, for me, he is a very good wing-back, but I don't think he's a very good right-back. And so I think when you are asking him to defend in those kind of situations, he's not that good at doing so. And I'm not saying we can't expect him to do that because, you know, he's still a Premier League player and he's still a good player. But, you know, it's just, I don't think it's in his mindset. He much prefers to be up the field, whipping across
the
pitch
and getting the glory.
But that's fine. But when you're not in that area of the pitch, do the basics. Yeah. And he would have been taught the basics and he'd be told to do the basics.
Would Poch have berated him for that? Would he have?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely. Absolutely, he wouldn't do it on camera. He wouldn't let everybody know about it. But you can bet your last pound coin on it that he got a mouthful for that because it was nothing but arrogance and cockiness and disrespectful to Wolves. You know, trying to nutmeg a player in your own corner flag. I ain't got time for it anyway. I think even if I was playing and that was one of my teammates, I wouldn't see anything funny about that at the time. You know. And it hugely backfired. And we don't need that. We're trying to, you know, Lloris is getting a lot of stick for his errors. Mm. So, you know, you want to take those out of the game. Yeah. I think Toby's made a few errors. So you know, when you've got somebody as reliable as him making mistake, you want to get rid of those. So, you know, you've got somebody like that, don't bring them on yourself. Like, do the basics. If we do the basics, we keep clean sheets.
Like, this is the only season I can remember where we seem to be making those mistakes. In the past sort of 2 or 3 years, our defence has been so solid and it's been the foundation of our success. Like, we've had some of the best defensive records. Some of our goal difference at the league tables a couple of years ago were just like, oh my God, how is this a Tottenham team? I've never seen anything like it. I'm used to, like, you know, plus six in like April. And it was like, what the hell? 100%, I was just like, oh my word, how is this possible? And it's, you know, it just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the fatigue. People are saying the mental fatigue for the World Cup.
I think you guys touched on it last week. And I think there is a little bit of mental fatigue. I think there's a little bit of the chopping and changing through injuries, through suspensions, through the middle. You know, if Toby and Jan played every week through the middle, like they pretty much did last year, and we just kind of rotated the fullbacks, there wasn't so much chopping and changing. There was fresh legs. And our only, you know, I think last year, the only time we'd put our head in our hands was every time, like, Aurier got on the ball or not on the ball, would just chop somebody down for no reason. You know, you go, oh, mate. But even Davis was kind of very steady Eddie last season. He just give you your 7 out of your 10 and your 8 out of 10. But he played the fullback role. You know, Davis won't give you, he won't give you no dramas. He will, you know, he'll get the ball, he'll play down the line and he'll do what he can. And Trips was like that last season. But I think the World Cup, you know, a little bit of...
The free kick as well he scored.
The overconfidence. Maybe just a little bit of mental fatigue. We're not in a position where we should be trying that stuff at the moment because we've got so many changes, we've got so many people missing through injury, you know, and people are tired, you know, and that's another cause of injuries as well, you know. Your body can only take so much. So we need to just do the basics. If you're the fullback, do the basics. Play the line, put it out, give us a chance to reset. There was no need for that. And it starts a domino effect. And that's what it did on Saturday night. It's like, oh, they got a goal. And obviously their tails are up. They'll have another go at us and bang straight away or, you know.
And their support, to be fair to them, was fantastic.
They got good support.
So, the noise that was coming out of the second goal. That's why we was all sitting there.
They're having a great season. And, you know, that was a game that we should have been worried about. And that was why it was so amazing to go 3-0 up. Because I was like, wow, you know, that's a statement. And then obviously it all goes a bit wonky-donk.
Yeah.
So with the sort of defensive solidity in mind, do we then think it would be worth moving to a back five with Trips and obviously Davies at the moment on the left-wing back role? Is there a player who could also play there, not Davies, in our team? I know Nkudu's play there. Could Lamela play there, or is he still just give a free? Is there someone else who could be more attack-minded to play that left-wing role, or you think play Davies and ask him to be more attacking and then play Sanchez, Foyt and Alderweireld at the moment? Or do you want to stick with the back four?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I like it when we, you know, when we play with the three at the back and play the wing-backs. I like that, you know. But it's like you say, have we got the players for it now? You know, you look at that season, our last season of White Lane when we had Walker and Rose, it was just brilliant, wasn't it? You know, the pace they had, but I don't think we've got them players, like you say. And wasn't there a game, didn't Son play a game? Was it against Chelsea?
Yeah. Chelsea,
and
yeah.
It was disaster, wasn't it? Absolutely disaster. Yeah. So, you know, I don't think we've got the players to play it.
I agree. I don't think we've got the players for it. So I think if you even went that way and you asked Davies to push on, you're then going to ask one of the guys in the middle to kind of bear more left and cover more left than right, because Trips is quite naturally that way inclined. So that right side of the pitch would be good, but I'd find us kind of all worrying about the left side if Davies gets caught out, you know, gets caught out, and he doesn't really have the same pace to kind of get back in.
It's like what you say about, he's a solid defender, isn't he? He's Mr. Reliable, but he's not going to be any more than that, is he?
No, I like the fact that we can call upon him, but, you know, I like the old Rose, and since Rose's return, you know, he hasn't put many games together. He hasn't really shown us what the old Rose was about either.
He's still better than Davies, I think, this season. I think Davies looked pretty poor.
I think it's just because of pace, to be honest with you. I don't, you know, when I've seen their games and weigh it up, I know some people are always happy to see Rose there. I'm happy to see him there. But when you weigh it all up, I don't think he's contributed much more than Davies. And that sometimes I think, just give me Davies. You know,
I think he's more of an attacking threat.
He is the attacking threat.
I think it's... I think it's more of a... I mean, I think what we're missing is, like you said, that Rose and Walker of, you know, 2 years ago when they were literally bombing it. And that's the thing. Even when they do get in those positions, there are obviously now concerns about getting back because they're just playing in the back four. And so there's not that drive to the byline, which they need. And when they do that, that is when we are successful.
We also, as well, you know, back in those days 2 years ago, you had Dyer that was on the top of his form and he could always go back, couldn't he? And he's not been playing well this season, has he? Which has not been a great help either.
Okay, so obviously we spoke about Foyt being man of the match against West Ham, and then he did have, obviously, not the best of games. I actually thought he played really well first half. Again, probably not under as that much pressure, but, you know, very composed, came out, won a few free kicks. He was looking good. Obviously, we spoke about the Tripp's mistake, putting him in it, and then it was a difficult one for him to go for. And then, obviously, the second one was just a bit of a sort of a clumsy coming together, and it was hard.
It was one of those fouls, wasn't it, that if the referee hadn't given it, it would have not been a surprise, really, either way, wasn't it? It was kind of, it could have been, you're not going to complain with the penalty given, but at the same time, you could have seen it not being given as well, yeah, I think. Yeah. Just one of those comings together, and it was clumsy, wasn't it, more than anything?
But I don't think we should be overly critical. It was just, you know, players make mistakes, you know, and I think it's just one of those things that, you know, he's going to learn from it. I don't think it's going to make him a worse player. I think it'll make him a better player.
It's all a learning curve.
And, you know, maybe next time he won't put that foot in, or he will maybe just, you know, stand off a little bit. You know, it's going to come with experience.
Yeah, it's all a learning curve. And in that situation, I'd like to have seen him just kind of stand him up and run him to the touchline. But we're not in his shoes, you know, we're not as much as we'd love to be. We're not 20 years old playing in the Premier League.
Well, it was his Premier League debut.
And it was his debut as well. So, you know, the adrenaline must have been flowing.
Exactly.
And he was on a high after the West Ham game where, you know, he probably got, you know, he got man of the match, but he probably got wind of a few reviews and, you know, people letting him know how well he's done. And the one thing, you know, listen, we got away with it. We took the 3 points and he can learn from those mistakes. Is the one thing that Poch has been criticised for in the past is when somebody's had a good game and they're only the kind of like standing player, he's taken them out and put the other player back in. Mm. And he didn't do that this time. You know, Foyt's played, he's had a great game, got mad a match, and Poch has left him in. And, you know, I think there's a little bit to be said for that as well.
It was deserved.
Yeah. And, you know,
I think Sanchez had played 2 games in like 48 hours as well, so he was obviously, you know, tired. And he actually, when he came on, he looked like he was still up asleep. Stop it.
I think Sanchez for me is one of those. I think if he's a sub, just leave him as a sub unless you really, really need to bring him on. He either starts or he just doesn't come on for me. But
he was in the zone on that beach, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there. But no, it's there's a lot of Foyt's had an interesting week, and there's a lot of positives to come from it. And listen, it's a learning curve, and he's done some good things, and he's seen the other side of it very, very quickly. So it can only stand him in good stead. We're 3 points better off.
I honestly don't think that my heart can take much more, because literally, like, if we're like 0-0, like, you know, with 10 minutes to go, it's fine. Or even if, like, you know, we're 1-0 down, it's actually quite enjoyable. I mean, it's not, because we still might lose, but like, that was so horrible. Like,
I think the thing as well is one of them games as well that if you do end up drawing or losing, you know you're going to get complete abuse from all your rivals, because you've just thrown away a free goal lead, like, you know. And so that was in the back of my mind. But it was just like, how on earth are we got to, like, what was it, quarter of an hour to go, and they pulled it back to 3-2. I try to look optimistically with Spurs, but there was part of me, it's like, I was with my little boy, and we just go. Like, I don't think I'm going to watch the last 15 minutes. Like, this is going to be terrible. Because we was where they sit. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Molyneux before, but they sit you sort of right next to their sort of single tier. So you just get so much abuse. And that it's funny, because they, I don't go to many away games. I was lucky to get an away, go to this one. But when I watch Spurs on TV away games, we make a lot of noise. And I was expecting that at this game, but I didn't hear a lot. And I think the reason why is every time we tried a chant, we were just drowned out. Drowned. Obviously, the guys at Wolves know exactly their places, and they spread you out all across that Steve Ball stand. So you're not in like a little, you kind of spread out all along there. Yeah. You try to chant, and they just the single tier just completely shut you out. So, and then they had the cheek to go, the one about crap you were away supporting. Like, we can't sing because you're not letting us. Like,
let us sing. Well, that is good. It was good. We hung on, and I think in past years we don't hang on.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that. I think we've spoken about it before, but I heard someone say that word that it just makes it's like now scratching a chalkboard. Term Spursy, and someone used it, and another Spurs fan said it was not Spursy because it would have been Spursy if we'd have drawn.
Yeah.
So you know you can't even use that word.
Yeah. No, we made it hard as we've touched on. That's what we do. That's what we're used to. And listen, ultimately, look at our record under Poch with teams that have come up.
Yeah.
And incredible. It's now, 74 points that's from 78?
Right, yeah.
You know, we don't mess around. He's got it right. We just wanted to make it a bit exciting for the travelling fans. Yeah.
So we heard the news today that Rafa van der Vaart has announced his retirement from football, which was a bit of a shock. I thought, you know, I mean, he wasn't playing at the highest level, wasn't playing that much anymore. But I thought, you know, it was a bit of a strange one to hear. But it gives us the opportunity to remember what a player he was, what a man he was, and just he's a cult figure for us. He's just like incredible. We've spoken about him before on the show. He was our player of the week 1 week, and you know, he should be a player of the week again today because he's just an absolute legend. So what sort of like overriding memories of VDV?
Well, like for me, it started for when we signed him. Like, you know, we got him deadline day, didn't we, for $8 million, which is like ridiculous fee for him. But he just fell in love with us straight away, didn't he? And for me, one of my favourite memories was when we beat Arsenal. Sorry, I have to mention that word. Was it the first win at their stadium?
Yeah.
And he scored the penalty. Yeah. And the way he just does that too, and that was just him showing how much he loved. Because you know he's come from Holland, hasn't he? He's not an English player, so he's not one that's come through the academy. So there should be no reason why he'd have such an affiliation with us. But he just did. He literally fell in love with us straight away, didn't he? And it showed, didn't it? Every time he scored a few against Arsenal, and he loved, didn't he? Yeah.
He knew how important it was to score. The goals against them lot. He knew how important it was, and he enjoyed it as much as every fan in that stadium. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was the Arsenal game or somebody else he scored against, and he ran off and he grabbed the old granny over the thing, didn't he? Give her a massive smacker and just ran off. But I think his affiliation with the fans and his love of the club, and you know, sometimes players just naturally just feel the love from the fans. And when you say $8 million, I mean, just ridiculous.
Such a steal.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want about Harry Redknapp, but Jesus, he's absolutely chucked an envelope and a half at them like for $8 million.
It's on a par with getting Klinsmann, wasn't it, back in the 90s?
It was, and he came, and we were just in that phase, wasn't we? You know, we were just kind of just not losing games that we used to lose, and maybe nicking a draw. You're just looking for that spark. Somebody could, like, you know, nick a game for you, just turn it the other way. And he came along and he just brought that team around him. He just brought them up another level. And the expectation from the fans and the love that came with it was just, it just took us up another level. One player, you know, took us up a whole another level. Just bits of magic.
And doesn't it show you as well, sorry to have to remind everyone, but, you know, the fact that we didn't sign anyone in the summer, it just shows, doesn't it, you know, if you sign a player, like I mean, I know that was a one of a kind, but you sign a player and that's a difference it can make to a team, can't it?
Yeah. Somebody's just got that, you know, just the rabbit out of a hat, you know, the flip of a coin, just like, just turn something, make something happen, you know, when you're really just struggling or, you know, you're banging up against the brick wall. And he come along and he'll just pull out a little bit of a trick and the fans would be up and you know, the whole stadium would be up and the players around it would be up, and you know, we've seen some pretty average players just like springing, like they found a new level.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
when he was around and he brought everyone up around him, he brought them up another level. And that's the mark of a really, really, really
good
player.
Hard to find, though. You know, I mean, for that sort of money, it's ridiculous. But, you say we haven't signed anyone, but, you know, that's the key, isn't it? To find that person who can be that difference and, you know, can be the one who can sort of, you know, pick that pass. Or,
Of course. And I know, it wasn't me saying that to sort of, you know, it was just kind of that you can do it. Like, you know, because people are saying, in the summer, who can we buy that's going to improve our squad? Who can break into the first 11? Sometimes, like Van der Vaart, would you call him world class? A fantastic player. I don't know if borders on world class, but he was a fantastic player. But he like you say, he just lifted the club, and straight away, as soon as he got there, just completely put our Cockle crest on his heart, and it just completely lifted the squad. So that's what I was saying. Like it was a fantastic fight and to get him, but that's what I'm saying. If you buy it, sometimes you can get a player that might not break into the first 11, but just gives that team takes that team onto the next level.
You've got to take a risk with the signing.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he wasn't a risk in terms of paying that money for someone who obviously was quality, it's seeing how he can adapt to the squad and change it. But I was surprised because we get a lot of international players, but I can't remember anyone who in that short period of time just became that sort of cult figure and like you said, sort of just seemed to really, really just like become a Spurs fan overnight. Yeah, and it was like, it's mental. Yeah. He had a real hatred of Arsenal.
Yeah, really, yeah.
Which is incredible.
As much as what we have, straight away.
It was just like, for the derbies, he knew. When you have other players who scored in derbies and they didn't celebrate like that. Yeah. Like, it was amazing. So anyway, Rafa, we wish you well. And,
I was going to say, sorry, mate. I was going to say as well that when you look at him on social media, he still talks about us.
Still a big fan. A big fan. Yeah. So, yeah.
He had a picture of the guy in an Arsenal fan playing table tennis in his backyard. And then someone picked out and he said, yeah, dealt with it. Told him the rules and he left.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, fair play. So, yeah, to echo yourself, thanks for the memories.
Absolutely.
And, good luck in your next venture. If you want to get down to the training ground and join a coaching team.
Yeah, why not? Great idea. So our next game is against PSV on Tuesday in the Champions League. It's a must-win game and we are definitely going to win. They're terrible. They're awful. Yeah. I've been swearing about them off camera and I'm not going to do it now because I'm more professional than that. And there were children watching. Hi, Mum. I thought they were terrible against us. I thought we obviously gave them the game, as we seem to be doing in a lot of these games. But, you know, we need this result. A lot of people are saying that it's already over because, you know, we've only got 1 point for the first three. We need a result. Obviously, tomorrow night as well, from Tuesday night, from the Barcelona Inter game. We need Barcelona to win. And then it's still obviously in their hands. You know, we can go to Barcelona and we could potentially get a result. They're going to be qualified by then, more than likely. They might rest players. There's potential for it to happen. But on the basis of that, tomorrow's results need to go well for us. And, you know, I'm expecting us to do well. Are you guys heading down there?
I can't make it, unfortunately. I've got my little one, but I would have liked to. Even on the American football pitch, I would have liked to.
Hopefully, it's going to be a little bit greener now, surely.
Has there been much rain?
There's been a little bit. I don't know if it's enough to clear the chalk off. But it'll be a TV viewing from myself.
And what sort of team do you think he's going to play? Do you think it's similar to the Wolves game or similar to the West Ham match last?
I think those last two games were a bit of a mix and match and a reflection of where we need to go forward. So I think tomorrow we'll see all the big guns, as long as they're fit, in terms of Ali, Eriksen. I think they'll be out there. I'm the same as you. I don't know if terrible is the correct term because, you know, we keep giving terrible teams a head start or a hand in the game, but I'm thinking tomorrow we put them away.
And the thing is, well, like you say, it's a slim chance that we're going to qualify, but a slim is still not non-existent. So put the full strength team out, because you never know, do you? You never know.
Well, look, it's one more. In theory, it could be just this last game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So despite the fact that we have three, if it all went wrong tomorrow, that's a wrap. Yeah. Right? So tomorrow we put 3 points on the board, we secure it, and whatever happens, Barca and Inter, that happens. If Barca win, then listen, we're still in with a shout. Yeah. And it's still in our hands. If we lose tomorrow, then it is a wrap. So whatever happens, we go out tomorrow, put a full-strength team out, win the game. Now, if we're still in with a chance come the next game, then happy days. You know,
so injuries obviously are an issue now. Dembele looked like it was quite a bad ankle injury on Saturday. Yeah. So in the middle of the park, they are struggling. Dier looks like he might still be out. Who would you play in the middle? Would you consider playing Skip?
Do you know, I think Sissoko had a pretty decent game against Wolves, and I'd be happy to see him play. He seems like he's getting his confidence. We're seeing a confidence with him that we haven't seen since he's been at Spurs, really. But just the last two or three games, I'm seeing a difference as Oko. And I don't know if it's because our expectation level's so low that he has a half-decent game. We think he's playing phenomenal, you know. But
Somewhere in between.
But I'd be happy to see him play. You know, I think he plays well in the middle, Sissoko. And probably part of the problem with him is I saw it against Wolves. He does make the runs, but he gets there and he's like, I don't know what to do now.
He seems to be getting a little bit more composed, but yeah. I agree. It might be a confidence thing, or, you know, I mean, I don't think he's the most talented footballer in the world. I think we can all admit that, but he's definitely improving for us with game time. Wanyama potentially could come back as well, so he could be an option with wings. Or I would really like to see Skip. I think he looks class.
I would as well, yeah.
So,
I think it might be a bit too soon for Skip in terms of Poch actually giving him a run out.
Yeah,
but, he might. That's not
bring him on as a sub.
Yeah, that's not to say he might not appear as a sub, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, if we're cruising at 3-0, but then actually don't, because
do we cruise at 3-0?
We don't talk about it.
Can't remember
the last time. Even on the 87th minute, I wouldn't bring him on for 3-0.
We're not talking about that anymore. Okay, so in terms of scoreline, what are we thinking then? I'll go to you, Matt, first.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a comfortable win, 2-0. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. I'm going to be Spurs about it and think that we're going to let something in. So I'm going 3-1.
3-1, okay. I'm going to say 3-0.
Like it.
Confident.
Like it.
Cool. All right. And then we go to Palace, Selhurst Park on Saturday. 5:30 kickoff for our 8th away match out of 12 league games, which is crazy. Which is going to be reversed eventually, you know. Yeah. So those games are going to be reversed. So we are going to get that benefit back, hopefully, in the long run, and potentially even at our new stadium. Who knows? Who knows? No one here, by the way, in Tottenham does.
We
film from a pub in Tottenham called the Blue Coats, and it's the old pride of Tottenham, and no one has got a clue about the stadium, so they have not been told a thing, and we don't know. So Palace are looking a little bit, you know, weak at the moment, so should we be confident going there? I mean, obviously, playing again sort of regular, this is like a really, really sort of difficult time for us in terms of the amount of games that we're playing, so would it be a different team to the one that we see on Tuesday, or would you think he'd play a similar team?
Yeah, I think he will. It's one of them games, isn't it, Palace, that we normally do quite well there. But I mean, what is it? It's a 5:30 kickoff, isn't it, on Saturday? Yeah. And I love their support. I think, you know, when you watch them, they've got I think one of the best set of supporters in the country. You know, so the atmosphere will be cracking. So they'll be right behind them. But we tend to do right there, don't we? We tend to do right. Yeah. I mean, we nicked a 1-0. I know we nicked a 1-0 last season. But I'd say go full strength. You know, go as full strength as you can. You know, I'd say you don't want to take them lightly at their ground on an evening kickoff. No. You know,
I think it'll be quite. Yeah, I think it'll be a very similar side, give or take one or two players, and that could come down to again fitness or injuries. But I wouldn't imagine there'd be too many changes from the starting 11 you'd see on Tuesday. And we've got the extra day in there as well. I know it's an evening kickoff, but we're playing on the Tuesday, so it gives us a bit. bit more time. Well, longer than we had between West Ham and West Ham and Wolves. Yeah. So, or Man City and then West Ham. So it gives us a little bit of time. But no, I don't think he'll change it up too much. Maybe the one or two players.
I think with the attacking options that we have at the moment, we have got five players into three positions, really. So, if tomorrow he goes for Eriksen, Ali and Lamela, for example, then obviously he's got Moura and Son to come off the bench and or start against Palace. That's a good position to be in. Foyt, would you start him in any of the games or would you stick with Sanchez and Alderweireld?
I'm going Sanchez and Alderweireld.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
For both games.
I would as well. He's given him that debut, hasn't he? And he's had a bit of a mare with him, two penalties. But it's like you said, Poch's put him in that game as a reward for the West Ham game. But it probably has come and maybe a little bit too soon, even that debut. Even though he looked like we spoke about it earlier, he is composed and he does look like he's been playing in the Premier League for longer, but I still feel like he's not by no means a finished article yet. And Sanchez and Toby for me are above him if we're going to go to centre backs.
Yeah, agreed. I think just defensively at the moment we need to find that little bit of stability and find the best unit we can until Jan returns and maybe Rose gets fit again. Just the central two need to they need to be the kind of where we build from. So I would go with those two. And, the fullbacks are probably likely to change. Maybe, if Aurier's fit, we may see him in one of the games. Mm. And
how do you think Walker-Peters did last week against West Ham?
Yeah, I think he did well. I think he held his own. I would just like to see him... I think he's probably slightly unfairly treated in terms of the rotation. I think we go to Aurier way too often sometimes. And I don't think Walker-Peters has done anything wrong in any of the games that he's played, really. I know, again, it's a learning curve, but he done well. He doesn't play back-to-back games, so I do expect the odd error or the odd misjudgment from him, but put a few games together and you get a very steady performer again and somebody with pace. So maybe Will appear or take his place on the bench, depending on Aurier's fitness. But I think again, like Foyt, I think his time will come. There will be games. There will be a period of games again where these guys will be required. So, dipping their toes in now is not the worst thing in the world.
So predictions for you then, Lee, on Saturday against away at Palace. You're gonna go draw, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm gonna be all Noel Tourette's about it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be.
It's contagious.
I feel it is a little bit contagious, but I think they just got
See us keeping a clean sheet.
I can't. And they got the pace and Zaha's a little bit tricky, and we're just in this phase of just diving in at the moment, and I can see it's just giving them something. I don't think they'll earn it off their own back. Yeah. I think we're good enough to just stem that.
Yeah.
I can see it's just giving them something. So I'm gonna go 2-1 Spurs.
Okay,
nice,
something like that.
I fancy a 3-1 actually. I actually fancy them taking the lead, us making a mistake, and then second half just getting one back. And
the fact we're predicting mistakes. This is a very sad existence that we are living in at the moment.
Well, we're just trying to...
Don't say you're a realist. He is a realist.
You can have a look back at the last few games.
He is quite real.
He is quite real, mate. Well, do you really need to ask me what I'm going to say? It's going to be 2-1. I do actually think it's going to be 2-1. Obviously, I predicted different for PSV, but I just think they have nothing going forward. But I think Palace can cause us problems, and they might well do, but I think we've got too much going forward. So yeah,
You was talking about drawing as well. Last time we drew a game was back in April against Brighton away. Last time we drew a game in the league, yeah, so it's been quite a while.
Yeah, really sure.
We just do, don't we?
Just come all out.
Exactly.
Not yet.
No, maybe after Saturday. Right. Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. Well, thank you very much, Lee, for joining us once again on our huge sofa here in the Blue Coats Pub. Matt, once again, absolute pleasure having you. Hopefully, see you guys very soon. So thank you once again for watching, everybody. Please do carry on and continue sharing and giving your comments. We do appreciate all of them. We've only been going this season and it's been great, some of the feedback that we've been having. So if you haven't liked our page on Facebook, then please do so. If you haven't shared us on Instagram, then it's TTILM Show on Instagram. Also on Twitter, TTILM Show. And also we are on YouTube. So please do check us out. Available also on Spotify, iTunes and other formats. So you can either listen to us or you can watch us on YouTube. So we appreciate all of your support. So please keep it up. And hopefully we're going to have two more wins this week. Come on, you Spurs.